Good morning. Blessed New Year. I like to use that expression more than Happy New Year. The biblical word for happy is blessed, blessed. Today, we're going to study an overview of John's Gospel. We could spend many hours just talking about the power and the beauty and the wonder of John's Gospel. I just have a short introductory message with three points, three rights: a right motivation, a right purpose, and a right result. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are here before you in this place, at this time, in this new year, 2019, the year of our Lord. Thank you for guiding us to study the Gospel of John throughout this year, so that each one of us here may more deeply believe in Jesus Christ and more deeply and profoundly and personally experience life in his name. Father, please bless this time. Speak to us, move us by your Spirit. Use me to serve, even in a small way, your word to your people. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So again, the key verses are verses 30 and 31, the final verses of chapter 20, which is the second to last chapter in the gospel, especially verse 31, but it makes more sense if you include verse 30. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, that is the Gospel of John. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. So my title is Believe and Have Life, or by believing, you may have life in his name. That's the longer title. The year 2019 is going to be a blessed year for us. Amen. It's the year that we are going to study John's Gospel deeply and newly, if we've studied it before. We begin today the study of perhaps the most personal, powerful book in the Bible, the Gospel of John. This gospel is indeed profound, as it is powerful and personal. Three P's: profound, powerful, and personal. Today, let's get a brief eagle's eye overview of what we can expect to learn in this gospel. May God bless our year-long study to be sincere and wholehearted, so that each of us may truly believe in Jesus and have life in his name. As I said, this message has three parts, three rights in studying this gospel: the right motivation, the right purpose, and the right result. First, the right motivation to study John's gospel: love. Say love.
Love.
We begin by considering something about the author. Historically, the Church of Jesus Christ has always regarded one person to be the primary author of this gospel: John, son of Zebedee. The Church Father Irenaeus said that Apostle John was the author and that he wrote from Ephesus. John was the brother of James, and both of them were fishermen by trade. These two brothers were also fishing partners to another set of brothers, Peter and Andrew. Together, these four fishermen made up four of the 12 apostles of Jesus Christ. So the source of this book was none other than the Apostle John, one of Jesus' 12 apostles, handpicked by Jesus. Interestingly enough, John never identifies himself by name anywhere in the gospel. Rather, he calls himself repeatedly, what? The disciple whom Jesus loved. Again and again, he says, the disciple whom Jesus loved. On the surface, this sounds exclusive and a bit arrogant. as if he is claiming to be the only disciple whom Jesus loved. He didn't love anybody else, but he loved me. He didn't mean that. We know that he didn't mean that. He simply meant, Jesus loves me. I know this without a doubt. And no one can take that fact away from me. Not only so, Jesus' love has completely transformed my life. I am no longer the person I used to be. How about you? Do you know that Jesus loves you? There is a children's song that goes, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. There are several more beautiful verses to this children's song. The important thing is not that you know the song, but that you know, without a doubt, and can personally confess, Jesus loves me, this I know. Loving Jesus Christ starts with receiving his love. That is, knowing he loves me. Loving Jesus Christ is what true Christianity is all about. Real Christianity is not attending church every Sunday, although that's good. It is not about being honest and doing good things, although those are both important as well. A good Jew or a good Muslim can be honest and do good things also. A genuine Christian, however, loves Jesus Christ with all their heart and soul and strength. They know Jesus loved me first. Jesus loved me enough to die for me. So I give my life to Jesus to love and live for him in return. I love Jesus by the Holy Spirit whom he deposited in me to take residence in me. Second, the right purpose to study John's gospel, what is it?
Believe.
Let's say believe.
Believe.
It is always, this is the longest part, most important part, I believe. It is also helpful if we know an author's purpose for writing. Thankfully, the author John tells us himself what his purpose in writing his gospel was. He says it in chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, those key verses. These are very important verses which will guide our entire gospel study. They read as follows. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Two things referred to here help us to believe in Jesus: signs and testimonies. First, signs. John's gospel records 7 miracles called signs, which Jesus performed during his life. So that would not include his own resurrection, which was probably the greatest sign of all, and a great catch of fish after by the risen Christ. So during his life, 7 signs. Of course, we know Jesus did many more than 7 miracles, but the author mentions just these 7. Changing water to wine at a wedding. Healing a royal official's son from a long distance with just a word. Healing a crippled man at a poolside. Feeding a huge crowd of over 5,000 people with just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Walking on the Sea of Galilee. Giving sight to a man who had been born blind. And raising a man who had been dead for 4 days out of his cave tomb. These 7 miracles are called signs, which means that they point to something more or tell us something more, a sign, something deeper about Jesus and about heavenly things. For example, after feeding the multitudes with a few loaves of bread, the people came back the next day to Jesus for more bread. That was the problem with this miracle. It satisfied their hunger for a day. But as you and I both know and all know, if we eat today, that doesn't do anything about tomorrow. We're going to be hungry tomorrow. So Jesus had to teach them, do not work for food that spoils. It meant, do not chase the things in the world that cannot truly satisfy your soul. Jesus went on to teach, I am the bread of life. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. When we study that passage, we can easily understand that Jesus was not telling them to become cannibals, eating his body. He wanted them to understand the spiritual reality of coming to him and believing in him, feeding on his words. Here's another example. Perhaps the raising of Lazarus from the dead is regarded as the greatest miracle Jesus performed while he was alive. In that passage, Jesus declares, I am the resurrection and the life. So Jesus' miracles were signs that pointed to some deeper truth about Jesus and believing in him. This leads to the second point, which the author expounds, testimonies. In John's gospel, Jesus himself and many people testify to who Jesus is. Apostle John begins in chapter 1 by boldly declaring that Jesus is one with the eternal creator God, who became human in the person of Jesus Christ. John chapter 1 verse 14 says, the Word, God, became flesh, human. In John's gospel, Jesus makes bold claims that only God can make. In fact, if any person made the claims that Jesus made, that person would be regarded as a lunatic or a liar. That is, in fact, what the British Christian author and theologian C.S. Lewis argued in his book, Mere Christianity. He wrote, I wish I had a British accent. I could do it in the, I'm trying here. I'm not very good at it. I'll just do it in American English, okay. To prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that people often say about him, I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. That is the one thing we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level with the man who says he is a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman, or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to. So what did Jesus boldly claim? In John's gospel, Jesus makes at least 7 I am claims with a promise attached to them. Every Christian should memorize these 7 I am claims. Do you know them? A few of you may know them, the chapter and verse and what they are. By the end of John's gospel, you should know these. Okay? Is that fair? Can I challenge you to learn these 7 I ams? Every Christian should memorize these. We will study these more deeply when we get to each of them. Here they are. Jesus says in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Jesus says again in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus says, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. That's chapter 10, verse 9. And I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. There are 3 more. I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. Perhaps Jesus' most famous words, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And my personal favorite, I am the vine, You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Actually, Jesus said, one more I am, but it doesn't include a direct promise, so it's usually not counted in the list of seven I am claims. It is chapter 8, verse 58. Jesus said, very truly I tell you, before Abraham was born, I am. This was perhaps the most direct reference Jesus made to being God. Jesus was referring to God's call to Moses at the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. When Moses asked God what his name is, God said to Moses, I am who I am. Jesus said, before Abraham was born, I am. His Jewish listeners understood very well what he was saying, so they picked up stones to kill him for blasphemy. They knew he was claiming to be God. So the author John wants us, the listener and reader of his gospel, to believe that Jesus is who he claimed to be. Jesus is the bread of life, the light of the world, the gate, the good shepherd, the resurrection and the life, the way, the truth and the life, and the true vine. John's gospel tells us that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit, the chosen one, and the Holy One of God. So what is our purpose to study John's gospel? It should be the same purpose for which the author wrote. If it is not, we can't say that we are good students of the author's book. The goal of our study, then, is to believe in Jesus. But just what does it mean to believe in him? To believe means to believe that he existed as a real human being. I believe that Julius Caesar actually lived. But belief in Jesus is much more than that. To believe in Jesus means to trust in him personally. That is, to put our faith, our whole confidence in Jesus Christ and him alone to save us from our sins and bring us to God. I have a favorite illustration I once heard regarding what it means to believe. This is a true story. Charles Blondin was a French tightrope walker who crossed over the Niagara Falls many times and in many ways, blindfolded, carrying his manager on his back, cooking an egg in the middle, etc. One time he pushed a wheelbarrow across on a tightrope and the crowds cheered. He asked the crowd, do you believe that I'm able to do it again? They cheered, yes, we believe. He pointed to one man in the crowd and asked him, do you, sir, believe that I'm able to do it again? The man said, yes, I believe. He said, then get in the wheelbarrow. The man was unwilling, even though he just said, I believe. He believed in his head, but he was not willing to risk his life. He was not willing to entrust his life in the hands of Blondin. To believe in Jesus Christ is more than a mental assent. It is to trust Jesus with our lives. It is to get in the wheelbarrow with Jesus and let him push us across to glory. It's trusting Jesus and him alone that he will bring us to heaven. This is the kind of belief that this gospel is asking us to have. To believe in Jesus is closely related to the word to know Jesus. After Jesus challenged the hungry crowd to eat his flesh and drink his blood, many turned away from him and no longer followed him. Jesus turned and asked his 12 disciples, you do not want to leave too, do you? Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. Again, Jesus said in John 17, verse 3, now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. as we study John's gospel, let's come to Jesus and put our complete faith and trust in him.
Amen.
But let's not stop there. Our Bible study should not stop with our own benefit and blessing. We must always think about how God wants to use us to bless others. We are blessed in order to be a blessing. So our second purpose of studying John's gospel is to help others to also experience this new, abundant, eternal life in Jesus Christ. Practically, our goal then is twofold: to believe in Jesus for ourselves and experience abundant life more fully in his name, and to help even one person or more to come and see Jesus with us, so that they also may experience new birth and life in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Third, the right result of studying John's gospel. What is the right result?
Life.
Let's say life together.
Life.
We have already heard many promises of Jesus to those who come to him and believe in him. John chapter 20, verse 31 summarizes it in these words, that by believing you may have life in his name. Here the word life is not simply physical life. Everyone has physical life, but not everyone really lives life to the full. Jesus promised in chapter 10, verse 10, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Another translation says, have it more abundantly. Jesus promises us abundant life. The life Jesus promises is not just for after we die. We can experience it now in this life. John 5:24 bears this out. In the present tense, it says, very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. Do you want abundant life? Of course, we all want abundant life. The problem is we all try to get abundant life in our own way and on our own terms. We all want the abundant life that Jesus promises. So let's come to him, not in our way, on our terms, but in his way and on his terms, that we may experience life to the full in his name. So can John's gospel actually change our lives? Yes, it not only can, but it should, because the Word of God is living and active. One young man grew up in a Christian home, but he did not have a personal confession of faith in Jesus. So his life went astray. He got into ungodly music, immorality, and drugs. He came to Bible study, and God's Word began to work powerfully and personally in him. Finally, John 14:6 came into his mind and heart. Jesus is the way. This verse of the Bible changed his life. Now, Steve Stasinos and his wife Amy are living for Jesus in Toledo. He experienced and is still experiencing life in Jesus' name. May God abundantly bless our John's Gospel study throughout the year 2019. That we may all believe in Jesus and have life in his name.
Amen.
Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for Jesus Christ, who is the Messiah, the Son of God, our Savior. He is what we are all seeking in our deep hearts and souls. He is what we most desperately need. Lord Jesus, reveal yourself to each one of us very deeply and personally, profoundly and powerfully, as we study the Gospel of John, that we may believe in you, really trust in you, with all our hearts, soul, and strength, and we may experience the life that you promise. We thank you and we pray in your name, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
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 everyone, let's rise and sing.